It's no wonder Joe Biden and the far left lunatic are desperate to stop us from aiming the necessary there, willing to violate the U.S. Constitution at levels never seen before in order to win this election. Joe Biden is a threat to democracy. Weaponizing law enforcement for high-level election interference because we're beating them so badly in the polls.
Yes, indeed, you've heard the big news. The breaking news that Donald Trump is barred from being on the ballot in Colorado. As of now, welcome to the show. Dinner talk today is Richard, the old photographer who has a PhD in Philadelphia. With you this afternoon, great to be with you. I think one of the dissenting judges in the case, we all know what happened last night, about 16 or so, Colorado members ruling. Donald Trump is eligible on the ballot. He violated Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The Colorado Supreme Court declared his guilt, even though he's never been charged with an insurrection or giving aid comfort to those who have, let alone trial to find his guilt, no process whatsoever. But the Colorado Supreme Court decided to get on their own to decide his guilt on federal charges that they have zero authority over, because the Colorado State Supreme Court gave authority over federal law, but they came to the conclusion themselves after the district court held a 5-day kangaroo court trial, where they decided Donald Trump was guilty of insurrection. But then the judge in that case said, but he still is not disqualified under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, because he does not say the word president. He doesn't say the word president, says senator. Is perhaps the lecture of the president and vice president, and says, officers of the United States, which the Supreme Court has ruled those people that are appointed by the president. But never says president. So even the judge in the district court case said Trump is still eligible to run, even though she believes he's guilty of an insurrection. But regardless of the fact, here we are right now looking at a potential showdown that's going to go to the Supreme Court. And my opinion is, I think the Supreme Court is going to say Colorado is nuts. Colorado is insane. For two reasons. Number one, Donald Trump has never been guilty of insurrection or felony to the United States or anything of that sort. He's not found guilty of charged with being any comfort to those who have. And number two, because the Supreme Court is going to look at the text of the 14th Amendment, they're going to say Section 3 doesn't have the word president in it. And so there's a reason for that. They left out the president. They left the word out. What word do you not see here? Get it. What word don't you see? As a senator? Oh, that's there. Member of Congress for the House? That's there. Member of the House. Right, left to work? That's there. Officer? Right. But president? Not there. So very simple ruling. Very simple rule. So the framers of the 14th Amendment and the ratifiers, the doctors, they all felt it was necessary to have the word president. Not because they thought it was implied, as the Colorado Supreme Court suggests, but because they didn't want to include the president, which is why they left it off the list. So if you're shopping this, I put apples on there. Don't buy apples. We have enough. It's not that complicated. It doesn't imply that by not putting apples on there, I really meant for you to buy apples. It's right on the list. No, obviously. So I don't think the Supreme Court is going to have any problems looking at the actual text. Thank God. The majority of the court are textualists. They look at the way things are written, not what people want them to say, but what's actually written. And they look at the text for what it is at the time it was written. And at the time it was written, the 14th Amendment dealt with the post-Civil War reconstruction of America. And there were several of these Civil War amendments that the South had to adopt if they wanted to come back to the Union. And one of them was really saying that if you had taken it over to the United States of America, and then you joined the Confederacy, and you stole that country, and you were a rebel, you cannot hold office as a senator, a member of the House of Representatives, elector of the president or vice president, or an officer of the United States. For whatever reason, they felt that person was still running for president. I guess they felt that was too limiting. I don't know exactly. It's not there. The president is not there. And this is the other thing about the Colorado Supreme Court decision. They determined that this amendment doesn't need anyone to find somebody guilty. They just assume that because it doesn't really go a process by which to come to the conclusion that you are guilty of this. So this notion now of this idea of disqualification and being self-executing, that they just automatically happens. You know, it just automatically happens. The way that it just unfolds. Nobody has to do anything to play according to them, Section 3 is an outline process by which you decide somebody is guilty of these things. However, two points on that. First point is, at the time that the First Amendment was ratified, everybody knows who the rebels were. We just fought a civil war. We knew what the Confederacy was. It was about them. So we didn't have to really look very far. It was about the Confederacy. We knew that. So if you were a Confederate general, if you'd previously been a general in the Union, taken it with the United States, and then you sold out your country, you joined the rebellion, well, then that applied to you. But going forward in the future, prior to the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you have a Section 14th Amendment that deals with due process. And it says no state can take away life, liberty, or property without due process. So that means every single American, white and black, as they said at the time, white and black, you cannot lose your liberty, your property, or your life without due process. Now, let me ask you a question. Does Donald Trump have any due process here? No, none whatsoever. He had no due process. So if you look at the text of the 14th Amendment, it's very, very obvious. The freedom of the 14th Amendment, the ratifiers wanted due process before you can lose your liberty. It's the first part of it. All right? So what is liberty? Does it include your right to run for president of the United States? Absolutely it does. It's a free country. You're not running for president. The only requirement is you have to be 35 years old, you have to be born in the United States, and you have to be citizen for a certain period of time. So for a certain period of time, that's it. Well, you don't have to have a job, you don't have to be a rich guy or a handsome person or a funny or charming, although those things certainly help. It's not a requirement. So you have the liberty to run. You don't have to be a descendant of a president, you don't have to be a son of a president. You don't have to have any of those things. Every single American has the right to run for president as long as they were born here and they're 35 years old and they've lived here long enough. That's it. So if state can deprive you of your liberty to run for president, liberty is a very broad word. And it's such an all-encompassing word. The three words in the 14th Amendment deals with this. Life, we know what life is, your life. So obviously, state can't send you to death without due process. That's easy. Property, we know what property is. Stuff you own. Stuff you own, your house, your possessions, your belongings, all that is your personal property. They can't take away your property without due process. So then the question is, what is your liberty? Well, liberty is your freedom. Liberty is your inalienable right to be free. That's liberty. And liberty gives you a lot of different abilities. One of those being that as a citizen of the United States of America, you can run for president. So if a state goes to deprive you of your liberty, it requires, the 14th Amendment requires due process. So what is the process? He's not in charge at the federal level of any of these things. Certainly not convicted by a jury of his peers. So Colorado Supreme Court took it upon themselves to find him guilty of things that he's not in charge with, even though these would be federal offenses, not state offenses. And then they went to the next step and said, he decided it absolutely applies to him. Heard you one of the dissents from one of the judges. And this is a very, very good one here. A couple of these dissents were excellent. Read the opinion of some of the dissenting justices who obviously get this. Third one. Dismissal of this case is particularly appropriate here because the electors brought their challenge without a determination or proceeding. There you go, a prosecution for an insurrection-related offense. With more rigorous procedures to ensure adequate due process. Instead, the electors relied on Section 11113 and its vague neck case to declare President Trump disqualified as insurrectionist. So, see, one of the justices in his dissent points out there was no due process here. Trump was not charged with insurrection, he's been found guilty of insurrection, therefore, this case should be dismissed. Another justice pointed out in his dissent regarding the process by which Congress has to be involved here. Right, finally, only 2/3 majority of both houses of Congress overturn a Section 3 disqualification. This remedy is extraordinary and speaks volumes about the gravity of the disqualification. Such a high bar indicates that an expedited hearing absent any discovery procedures and with the preponderance of the evidence standard is not the appropriate means for an adjudicating a matter of this magnitude. Another justice writes, I cannot agree with the majority that this American proceeding below commensurate to the interest of which he has been deprived. Meaning that this is a sham kangaroo court, and you're denying the liberty to be able to run for the presidency. You have to make sure you're doing it the right way. As in, you better follow the process. And you better use the due process here, because that's what the Constitution requires. Congress didn't do that. So I think the Supreme Court's going to do one of two things. The first thing they might do is they may just look at the case in the context of, well, Donald Trump has not been found guilty of insurrection or rebellion, getting comfort to those who have. Therefore, the case is moot and Colorado goes scratch. Which is going to delete the question of whether or not Section 3 applies to the president. And then that may be something the court determines later on down the road, or the court could be the opposite. The court could turn around and say, we believe that this is relevant to Colorado, you have to promote the ballot because Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does not include the president. They can just do it that way. But what the court likes to point out when the process is not accurate, there's no actual harm for the court. They like to be minimalist in their rulings, very narrow rulings. That's what the babies come and say. Babies come and say, you're the big fan of instruction. This is what the disqualification clause says. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector president or vice president or hold any office of civil or military under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by vote of 2/3 of each House, remove such disability. Right? So that's the qualification clause. What you did not hear in that was the president of the United States. You heard elector president, the people that go to the electoral college and vote. And you said that Congress is a real place with a really cool mascot and a great pool and really great night dining, too. The cafeteria is awesome. The electors can be elector, but it doesn't say you can't be president. So that's what the Supreme Court, I think, will ultimately rule. But the first question the court would have to do is just reject this case entirely and say, oh, wow, you have not found this man, he's not been found guilty of the federal level of instruction or given aid for those who have. Therefore, there's no case here. You have no right to walk him from the ballot. They punt on the question of whether or not the president is included in Section 3 of the Disqualification Clause, even though the word is not there. All the other words are there, not that word. All the other titles are there, not president. And you know how to spell it because you spell left for president. They know how to spell the word, it's not a matter of that. You know what I think? We're trying to make the paragraph as affirmative that the word out, they didn't want it to apply to the presidency. So that's how it is. All right, it's David Show with me, Rich Deal, with you. Follow on Twitter at Rich Deal, RSDHZDOLI. Southern border invasion continues. Joe Biden has surrendered our southern border. So I'm talking about the way.
We'd rather be prepared for anything that would happen. It's something, number 40 that comes, or a tornado, something like that. Emergency strike, let's see, you want to for it, where the next meal can come from. So we're by the food store. It comes in, you can do $50 in 4 weeks survival food. You can get free shipping, all of your protein at .com. It's $2. 4 weeks survival food. 2,200 calories, 64 grams of protein per day. 1 day supply. Everything is made with high quality U.S. ingredient. Freeze dried, dehydrated, very easy to prepare. You just add water. It also has a 25-year shelf life as well. They have all kinds of dishes, tons of food being packed in there, and flavorful as well. So be prepared. Order yours today. Prepare to get $50 for 4 weeks survival fee, plus free shipping. To prepare with Dana.com.
Definitely might get the best of you. Stay in the loop ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if we continue on the show today, getting it off to Rich Deal with you. Great to be with you on a very busy Wednesday. We're going to come back to the Trump Colorado stuff. There's a lot on it, a lot of analysis. But I got 5 things for you, so let's do it.
And now, all of the news you probably missed. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yes, you know, it's be released over 170 of them. High profile associates will be named in court documents to be unsealed on the first days of 2024. It was a big news story that got lost because of the true Colorado thing. Hypochondriacs still end up living shorter lives than the rest of us, even though they're always nervous about things. So it doesn't say worry. Work will kill you. COVID-19 levels are high at the holiday season as we get the travel season, but don't that worry you because then you'll be a hypochondriac. Of course, that be mail in voting. Unaffordable rents are linked to premature deaths. Of course, there's no way to lose and turn around the screen without equity. People are dying if they can't afford to rent. And DC1 law has been broken into 5 times this year. And now it's giving up and shutting its doors. That's why it's America for you. Even the wine owners are breaking wine stores now. Really amazing. All right, this show will continue. We've got a lot to get to the analysis on the Colorado Supreme Court decision. What happens next? What does former President Trump say? What are his opponents saying? Say it, you don't go back.
If you want to take good care of your skin, especially now the winter is getting drier and moisturization is a very big deal. You need to need skin care. This also makes for a great Christmas gift, by the way. If you're still out there looking to put stuff under the tree, the skin care products are just a great option. The limited edition winter bundle, and free gift card. Everything they already to say, and we get there because they realize, oh my gosh, a lot of these companies, these care companies, are trying to use men and gender identity to start promoting products for women. Well, women actually need products that we can understand, right? And using men to sell it isn't going to work. Number one, they use only the best, not tested on animals ingredients in their product. Everything made here in the U.S. of A. And it's affordable, and it's usually skincare that's affordable. And the company also reflects your values, which is incredibly important as well. One of the most popular is their anti-aging product, their anti-aging product, their cleansing, moisturizing, protecting the skin. That's their half-ultimate routine. You definitely should check out the winter bundle as well. And I'll make you say, spread it on and use 10% using code NAMM. So you can get care of your compromise your values. Have a great day. Visit meetgetcare.com and NIMI. Use promo code NAMM for 10%.
Before setting your child off their last 6 figures of debt at the age of 18, remember to make sure that school isn't another woke hedge fund corporation. Elite universities have gone from places of excellence to places of political and social engineering. Check out the Watchdog and Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
The drive-thru version of the Dana Show. Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast, hosted daily from the Dana Show.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Getting off today, and the Richard is building from Rock Creek, while attending a PhD in Philadelphia with you, watching as a gigantic group of migrants are at the southern border of the Fox News showing that live. I'd give up the border. I mean, it's surrender, complete surrender. But it's not really, I shouldn't say giving up. Biden has done this on purpose. The Democrat Party has done this on purpose. Next, I'll look at you, Senator John Fetterman, Pennsylvania. And he's getting hammered by his fellow progressive kooks over what he said. Basically, what he's saying is we need to secure the border. But that's such an outlier position to his Democrat Party, this party of open border, that say that. He actually faced massive criticism. But see how Joe Biden just said, he used words on purpose there, self-evident. It's self-evident. So what the left is going to try to do here is say that Trump doesn't need to be tried. Court doesn't need any process. It's evident. You watched what happened on January 6th before it's evident that Donald Trump took part in this. Except, you didn't see Trump in Capitol on January 6th, did you? No. You didn't see him enter into the building. Apparently, he tried to grab the wheel of the beast to command the limousine to go towards the Capitol, but the Secret Service knocked him down. You know, that magic steering wheel theory was as much BS, but. So, how is it self-evident if you don't have a trial? How is it self-evident if you don't have a jury of your peers convict you? How does it become self-evident? Well, Democrats don't like the process. They don't like anyone interfering with them. They just want to get everything they want. So if it's self-evident, they say it's self-evident. Like, oh, but you're self-evident. How climate change is killing all of us? It's self-evident. Proving things is not something Democrats ever want to do. You can't actually prove using science that a boy can become a girl. Because boy can't. But it's self-evident. You just say self-evident. So that's their trend. What they're going to try to do is say, anyone who saw January 6th, I believe they go left, knows that he's guilty. That's not how you do things in America. We don't watch television and decide people's guilt. We have things called charges, trial, due process, discovery. We have all those things. That's what makes us the United States of America. We don't just have a bunch of bureaucrats decide what is self-evident and just decide someone's guilt based on what they think. That works. They're using that language self-evident for freedom. Because other states are going to try the shenanigans as well. They're going to turn around and say, hey, look, who wants the January 6th hearing? Even though it's a one-sided hearing, and then the entire purpose of the January 6th committee was just to show Trump's guilt and tie into all this. We determined that the January 6th committee is still correct, therefore, it's self-evident. He did a terrorist, and he's banned from being on the ballot in our state. So that is going to take it upon themselves. It's self-evident. But of course, the 14th Amendment also requires due process, which Donald Trump had none of. That's number one. Number two is the idea that the Supreme Court comes back and says, well, Donald Trump is not found guilty of an insurrection, and you have to have due process to the East Colorado, so you can't bear it from being on the ballot. Well, what's going to happen is Jack Smith, special prosecutor, tells him that Trump had tried to start this trial before March of 2024, Super Tuesday. He wants Trump to be on trial for Super Tuesday. That's what he wants. Jack Smith will most likely come back and he will add charges to the already very long list of charges he's started up with Trump. And he probably will charge him the aiding and abetting those who are doing insurrection in the United States. Because once the Proud Boys were charged with the conspiracy, I realized that the whole game here, the left is playing, the whole jig was up at that moment, as they say. Here's why. The Proud Boys were charged with seditious conspiracy, and a lot of people who were discussed about the events of January 6th came out and said, well, this is a big over here. Seditious conspiracy against the United States of America? Come on. We're not going to stop. They were going to actually overthrow the government. Nobody's going to overthrow the government that day. They can vote by a few hours. Stop. It's not seditious conspiracy. I know. As soon as they're charged with that, they can't record in these days to see if it's only January 6th to find guilty. And now you have the first group of people who have been found guilty and charged with sedition, conspiracy, insurrection, rebellion against the United States. And I knew why they were doing that. So then they turn around and say that Trump gave them aid and comfort. It was true what not happened, but they're going to say that this Colorado Supreme Court says he incited people with his word. First of all, political speech. Inside people who do lots of things. I did not beg who shot 6 years ago was inspired by Bernie Sanders' words. But Bernie Sanders is not inciting people who should leave the police. We see lots of Republican politics. To make our country, transform America, we say all kinds of things. Save America, change America, we use lots of different words. But what we don't do is if somebody hears a politician stand up and say, America has to change. And that person thinks, yeah, I'm going to build a building. We don't go in the country and say that it's the fault of the speaker. Somebody broke the law, it's horrendous. They heard something, it was not said. But the person cared to be asked. And none of the January 6th defendants in D.C., the people who were denied a lot of the process and access to attorneys and that's for another show, none of them were allowed to use Donald Trump as their excuse. In other words, the government rejected them trying to say Trump made me do it. They wanted to. Why can't I use it as their defense? Trump made me do it. I did that day to mention windows or walk through secure areas or whatever else in charge of it. I think it was Trump. And the government would let him do it. So, okay, you had your defense. Sorry. Trump made me do it. It's not going to fly here. These stand up when he's marching on the Capitol peacefully. He used the word peacefully, although he didn't have to. First Amendment doesn't require you to press He never directed people to snap widows. He never told people to kill McCann. He never told people to try to overturn the election by holding members of the Senate hostage. Whatever the kooky scenario that's been brought up in Jeff Scarborough's mind. He never told them about any of those things. They just political hyperbole. And then people took from that, and then they on their own got people convinced back that are against the law. Proper damage. Trespassing is very, very hard. In my opinion, it's a public building. There are areas of the Capitol that would be trespassing. The building itself is a public building. Regardless of the fact, arguably his speech is not protected under the First Amendment, because people then went and rioted is ridiculous. I tell everybody that he has dreamed an impact spot. We're doing a big protest against the Colorado Supreme Court ruling. And when we're there, I'll fire up the crowd because I'm a good speaker. I like to fire people up. And I said, we have to stand here for liberty. We have to stand for the Constitution. You want me to fight the state of America and then people go crazy and start rioting and looting. How come I fall? I didn't tell anybody to do those things. I didn't tell people to riot and loot. They start doing it on their own, that's on them. I use political hyperbole that's been in our country's history for hundreds of years. That's been spoken to people on both sides of the political aisle, all sides of the political aisle. But the Colorado Supreme Court has decided his guilt for him. Now due process, that federal charges, the Colorado Supreme Court has no authority when it comes to insurrections and rebellions against the United States of America. The state court has no authority in this matter. These would be federal offenses. That's how much states can't prosecute people for federal crimes. The feds do that. That's why we have such a multi-layered justice system. I keep explaining to people. That's why Donald Trump is being, they're going after my two states and two counts, multiple counts on the federal level. The states can't prosecute people on federal law, and vice versa. The feds can't prosecute people on state law. That works. Their system of federalism. Colorado said, oh, the Senate is not without trial in the process. That's how much has been charged in the matter. So, what I would see playing out here is Jack Smith, special prosecutor, who helped end Lincoln Trump, would probably add those charges and say, Trump gave aid and comfort to the Proud Boys to defend guilty position to the bureaucracy. Therefore, he's guilty of giving aid and comfort to those who are in a rebellion or insurrection against the United States. That would be a charge from the special prosecutor. I didn't prove that. Where's the proof that Donald Trump gave them aid or comfort or helped them pull this off? Where are those charges? Because I've never heard that before. I've never heard the allegation that they had secret planning meeting in the White House and Trump told them what to do, or that Trump was up texting them that day and telling them what to do, or anything like that. That you realize the entire course of the investigation surrounding January 6th, which was a sham committee hearing, they never uncovered any proof whatsoever that Trump had any knowledge prior to what happened at the Capitol, or what giving orders during what happened at the Capitol. Think about that. Nothing. So then how do you prove you give any comfort to people who are convicted of religious conspiracy? You say, oh, it's self-evident. Self-evident. We need evidence. Self-evident. Self-evidence is the standard in our legal system. Evidence is the standard in our legal system. Not self-evident. Evidence. Where's the evidence from those things? On his words, you're allowed to use fiery political rhetoric. It's okay. You're allowed in America. Adults are supposed to know what's legal and what's not. They're supposed to know how to behave. If you don't behave accordingly after being fired up by political speech, that's not on you. Unless you give them specific direction, the First Amendment applies. Unless you specifically tell people to break the law, which Trump did not do, the First Amendment protects speech. We don't let interpretations happen. We don't let this notion of saying, well, the First Amendment doesn't apply because he was using a Jedi mind trick on everybody. The Jedi mind trick doesn't work. It's not an actual way for government to get somebody. Well, by saying these things, he Jedi mind trick people and smashing windows at the Capitol building, moving barriers, and really wanted them to do it. He was using subliminal messaging. I need to go to movies as a kid and then show subliminal messages, popcorn, and Coca-Cola. Get up and go to the concession stand and load up. Subliminal messaging. That's what Trump was using that day. Subliminal messaging. It's ridiculous. My prediction is that the special counsel will get those charges. Because the Supreme Court, I think, think he's going to come back and say, well, see, he hasn't been guilty of these things. There, you don't have to be putting room from the ballot. We don't even have to touch whether it applies. This qualification clause, because he has not been found guilty of these things. So, there you go. Now there's no case here. Put him on the ballot. In which case, then, you can see the Democrats reacting and then adding those charges. Because the Democrats are held up on the ballot. There's no question about it. They will not let him be on the ballot. He would. And they're terrified of the fact. Terrified of the fact that Joe Biden is going to lose. They can't get Biden out of the race. They're worried that Biden's going to say he's a stubborn old donkey and he's not going to go to it. And they're worried Trump's going to beat him. Their whole idea was to make Trump a nominee because they felt like he was the easiest one to beat. Now, any Republican can beat Joe Biden. Trump included. And they realize that too. They realize that as well. They see the polls in the swing states. They see the trends and the trends in the Trump Democrats getting worse. And with the southern border being wide open, the invasion happening, the southern border being conquered by illegal aliens, crime rates, inflation, everything else, this stuff's not turning around by next November. And the only thing people care about comes in January of 2021 will tax better than we're doing financially in January of 2021, not what people did on January 6th. They're going to try. They're going to try to ban him from the fact that this is not over yet. Now, hopefully, the court will give a much wider ruling and come out and say, number one, he's not found guilty of any of these things you're alleging. So, if it's a federal matter, he's not been charged or found guilty. And number two, even if it were, Section 3 would not apply to him because he's not, because it doesn't say president. I don't know if the Supreme Court will go that far. It may just be a little more narrow in their ruling and just say, he doesn't have found guilty of these things. You don't have to be pretty fucking his guilt. It's these be federal offenses. Okay, this is an issue we can a lot more talk about, of course. John Fetterman bringing this party on immigration and getting hammered by progressives over this as we see the Southern invasion continue in America to go away.
Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19, well, ivermectin is now available at Whole Family Pharmacy based in Boca Raton, Florida. With growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties, supported by robust research and real-world experiences. It's gaining new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. Reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code DANA10. Your health matters, just stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate this challenging time with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code DANA10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Code DANA10 at Dana and number 10.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because now it is your ultimate superpower.
Stay tuned. A great description is how they point to it. So from the entire system of elected government that we now established, over 200 years, it's a disarray. It's a scandal. It's a shame. The justices who wrote this decision to be ashamed of themselves. It's purely partisan blood. As soon as possible to get back to the business of electing presidents based on what people want, not what persons want.
Professor Alan Dershowitz, who says he's okay with Trump, but he's right to say that this is in fact a gigantic scandal. Governor Ron DeSantis, who also came in and said this is a ridiculous ruling, makes a great point about states like the other states that I might have never been able to come back with.
But he's convicted or something about some of these things. We're no trial and it's basically just that why you can't be on the ballot. How does that work? What's the limiting principle for that? Why could we just say that Biden can't be on the ballot because he let an 8 million illegals out of the country and violated the Constitution?
Yeah, why not just try and say that? So that Joe Biden has allowed a rebellion against the United States of America to happen. But the border is rebellion. Insurrection. We're taking over our country, letting our country be taken over. So it's self-evident. So why didn't Texas turn around and say that? You know, Texas can turn around and say, hey, let's have self evident. We look around you. This is an insurrection against the United States. This is a rebellion against the United States. happen in Texas, let it happen. Give aid and comfort to the millions of illegal immigrants who are storming our southern border and taking over the country. So therefore, he's eligible to help. It's self-evident. It's just self-evident that way. We're going to take him off the ballot. Why not? And what's to stop him? What's to stop him? It's a question. Nothing is to stop the state from doing that. Nothing is to stop the state from saying that Joe Biden is disqualified for being on the ballot. Hell, why not turn around and say, listen, which obvious Joe Biden is going to increase the spheres. Robert and Iraq comes into spheres, and therefore it's self-evident. He's not able to be president. It's a matter of concept and impeachment found guilty. We have. We've decided. We've decided to do these things, therefore he's not able to serve. It's outrageous. It really is. It's a very, very crazy, crazy day for the Republic. Coming up, immigration, the southern border invasion continues. You're in the Senate show. The rich is still don't go away.
A friend of Dribble, the only Christian conservative still found service in the country. And they're going to save you money. They also make sure you're not funding anything that you vote against every time you're in the ballot. So here's the thing. They've got a great deal happening right now for Patriot Mobile. And you can get a free smartphone. The promotion went up with Code Friday 76. Some of the switches, limits only. They have a pedal to recover and all the information to work. You can just written in your area of fun on the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message to you to support your new values. And you're also going to put your momentum and your money behind them.
Paper of mine. Kid Madden would be blasted. He's a phony. He's a fake. All these people thing when I have been saying for the days saying all these years about the Democrat Party being just completely for Google Fox is absolutely true. And you have to break from your own party on securing the border, and when you do so, you get blasted by your own party. You get blasted by the party. See, John Fetterman's position of wanting to secure the border is not the mainstream position of the Democrat Party. That's if it was, it'd be no big deal. He came back and said, yeah, I'm going to secure the border, and all the other Democrats would be like, yeah, we'll do. But it's such an outlier position, because the party has become the party of open borders, and the Kirk's taken over. And now, he says that, break from his party. Break from the Democrat Party, which tells you the back of the mainstream of the party. Mainstream party of open borders. Mainstream party is what's happening down the southern border right now, because it's entirely fine. In fact, they're happy about it. This is the transformation of America they both wanted. This is that to go over a country without firing a single shot. You just open up the border. And the people that believe that, obviously, they hate America. They hate America so much. They believe America has to atone for its white colonial past and its white supremacy, its capitalist nature, and blah, blah, blah. And so America has no right to anybody. Can't come to America. All the terrible things America has done across the world. This is how they think. Government, though, is smart enough to know it's not popular in Pennsylvania. It's not popular anywhere. The story was kind of political yesterday. Mexicans are dying for Trump's return. Politico, not exactly a right wing newspaper. I mean, they might actually still do physical one in DC. Anyway, not right wing site, Politico. The whole story is different than that. Luckily, down there, he gets a story talked to a pastor, a local pastor, of course, is all about taking care of the immigrants and helping them. And then he starts going into downtown El Paso, talking to people who are Mexican, became American citizens, find something shocking. They think the situation is insane. They want it to stop. They want Trump back to do something about it. Now, this obviously is not the end of the narrative that the left keeps screaming about. But you have people in Texas, El Paso, we have the Democrat mayor coming out and saying this is unsustainable. We have the mayor of New York City coming out and saying the federal government's doing nothing. And all these things are happening, so it's going to go down there and talk to these people. And again, the reporter of Politico is expecting you got to back it and say, Trump is anti-immigrant. That's not the case. And then as you dive further into the article, you find out that Hispanic Latino voters, they have been running away from the Democrats, running away. At one point, their high point was something like 48% support, and now it's down to the low 20s. The Democrat Party is losing Hispanic Latino voters. Now, I think for a lot of reasons, not just immigration, I think because a lot of Hispanic Latino voters are socially conservative. The Democrat Party is not obviously going to support for abortion at any moment. The curriculum, schools, transgender policies, all those things. I think a lot of people are deeply offended by those things. Same with black voters, too. I mean, black voters are trending away from Democrats big time. And black voters are also falling. Plus, a lot of these black voters live in cities that have been just completely taken over by criminals. And it's in Philadelphia every day. Philadelphia is a city that has a district attorney, Larry Krasner. You probably have heard of him, George Soros guy. He's a Marxist. And he had so soft on crime that the Democrat governor of Pennsylvania and the Democrat legislature of Pennsylvania passed a law to strip him from some of his authority. He doesn't actually prosecute criminals. So what they did was they passed a law in Pennsylvania that said if there's a crime that happens near SEPTA property, SEPTA is the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, Trains and Buses, if a crime happens around one of the SEPTA properties, and be a special prosecutor appointed by the Attorney General, the District Attorney of Philadelphia cannot take the case. Cannot prosecute that person. Because they know he's not going to prosecute that person. Here we have the Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro signed the law that was passed by the Democratic legislature, stripping the District Attorney of Philadelphia of some of his power. You know what I mean? This is the backlash that's happened in the country. This is what happened. We got here. We didn't get here overnight, but we got here. He's being taken over by criminals, where the border is wide open, and the invasion that's happening down there is not going to stop. Because it's not the mainstream position of Democrat Party is enough to secure the border. The militarization of the Democrat Party is up. Come on in. Come on in. What happened yesterday? So the White House attacked Texas Governor Greg Abbott for passing a law that said if you cross Texas legally, we're going to arrest you. Have the state police arrest you. Like strangers. It would happen to you. And the White House came out and said it's cruel. It's not humane. How can you do that? That's so mean to people. As I was reading the political article yesterday, I actually talked to a person out there who said, look, I'm Abbott getting it done. He's one of the steel barriers up. He's one of the steel fence up and things in the river to try to get people from crossing in. And we support that. People in Texas support what Abbott's doing because they see that he's trying to do something. And what happens in response? White House comes out and fights them. That's on it. Well, let's see what Corbyn say. They know it would actually do something and they don't want anything to change. They don't want the situation to be fixed. But if you could fix the border tomorrow, just call the National Guard and send them out there. It's not that complicated. You have such a crisis going on at the southern border as we speak. And what happens? You have Democrat members screaming about the fact that places like Texas are sending people to their cities. These are sanctuary cities for years. They say, come on in.
Talk about
Follow breaking news as the board continues migrant reporting across. What is this being on economic soon? Is the least popular thing in the country. Right now, your main show, I have five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for the game to come up.
Just stop breathing. And really, you want to see the environment. Stop breathing. A peer reviewed study said human breathing contributes to global warming. And by human respiration, it has a net warming effect on the atmosphere. So, do your part and just stop breathing. You thought recycling was all you had to do? Nope. You need to stop breathing. California homesteads crashed to the lowest level in 15 years. What do you think that is? Huh? Because it is one of the most expensive states in the country, especially for the crime. Or is it both? Is it a combination of many factors? Well, either way, as the housing market under Joe Biden stinks, because of high interest rates, there's not enough inventory on the market. In California, it's the people used to love to live in because it's so beautiful and the weather's great. Lowest level in 15 years, a complete home sale crash. A biblical plague, frogs, toads, and tadpoles caused a multi-car pileup. This time we've been in the stocks predictions as well this time of year, right? Well, this happened in Coloma, and it was a pickup truck lost control, and I guess it's terrible because it's been animals, so they had, yeah, you bet, frogs and toads and tadpoles, just like out of the movies. To watch right, we're standing right there. Poisonous mushrooms picked 159 in Jersey this year amid foraging renaissance. Then don't eat wild mushrooms. It's kind of a common sense thing. Go to the store and buy them. I know times are tough and the economy is tough, but still try to buy your mushrooms, please. And you can get paid because asphalt sticks. Asphalt company is going to pay $1.2 million over a number of lawsuits about odors. Right? Never did like in Chicago. So, yes, company's going to pay out. Pay is the hard of smelling, am I right? This is going to show to Rich Zeeley for dinner. We're coming right back.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary. Spice up your day with the Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective way to download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids and obviously his mom. Doctor is on our show. Welcome to the Dana Show, which is built for Doctor Nicole and a PhD in Philadelphia with you today. Great to be with you on this busy Wednesday afternoon, pre Christmas. Maybe get ready for the Christmas travel. Get ready to go out the river through the woods. Well, it turned out that millions of kids left classrooms during the pandemic, and new data shows 50,000 of them have not returned 2 years later. Reason.com has a story, and according to an analysis from the Associated Press, 50,000 children in 22 states were still missing from school in this past fall. It's crazy, right? 2 years after the COVID-19 pandemic caused school enrollment numbers to plummet. The number actually indicates improvement in school attendance. The AP found that it estimated 203,000 children were missing in the fall of 2021. Also shows that thousands of children have nonetheless experienced multi-year disruptions to their education following COVID-era school closures. So, for instance, we keep hearing about a new variant now. Everybody's getting ready to travel. There's a school pandemic that's already decided to make remote learning. This is a precaution, you know what I mean? And, of course, I would not put anything past Democrats in the room and say, you know, voting for the book. Lockdowns, there's nothing they won't try to maintain power. We know that. We all know that. Following the wave of school closures that began with the start of the COVID pandemic in 2020, as many as 3 million school children went missing from school, meaning that they weren't enrolled in the local public school. But they were not school district at all. They weren't enrolled in private school, and they haven't even started homeschooling. What's that about? Most of these children's return is near my parts to happen in the classrooms in February research on the AP and Stanford researchers found. During the 2021-2022 school year, 23,000 children were still out of school across 21 states in the District of Columbia. AP examined data from pre-COVID years that found virtually no children were missing. On Tuesday, the AP report that an updated analysis found 50,000 children still missing from classrooms across 22 states and D.C. as of fall of 2022. A number of tell that the vast majority of once missing children have returned to classrooms, graduated, or formally dropped out of school, a persistent cohort of children are absent long term. And then, that causes a difficult pinpoint bureaucratic hurdle to a major factor while the children back from returning to the classroom. Many school districts have stringent policies of unenrolling children after long absences, while others require onerous paperwork proving the child's residency within the district or complicated medical requirements. In Atlanta, for example, parents must provide 8 separate documents to enroll their children in public schools, including a complicated certificate of evaluating a child's mental health, vision, hearing, and nutrition. One mother of a seventh grader with autism told AP she tried to enroll her son in a local public school as soon as the pandemic ended. However, she didn't have reliable transportation, so she couldn't find a new appointment to get him the required immunizations, causing her son to miss 5 months of school. She said he wasn't in school and no one cared. The report points to a large body of evidence showing permanent damage to many American school children following the COVID school lockdowns. While children have returned to school showed devastating learning losses, those who remain absent surely have been deeper deficits. And we haven't, in fact, been the mental health total of all this yet. Clearly, we have a crisis of mental health in the country among young people. No doubt about it. So, as you look at all those things, you turn around and say to yourself, well, what's going to happen in 2024? What's going to happen in 2024? If we look ahead, we throw all the warnings and hear all the prognostications about COVID variants and numbers rising. Will the Democrats pull the trigger again? I don't think they would. I don't think they would hesitate. If it meant getting everybody's mail going and they control the process, no doubt. No question about it. Randy Weingarten, who's head of the American Federation of Teachers, came out and said, vouchers are another example of what's pressed or something similar. Vouchers would give kids, particularly poor kids, in failing schools, the ability to go to better schools. That's not a racist, if you understand that. But schools, of course, are indoctrination grounds. So many people don't want their kids going to a public school these days, and a lot of parents now don't want their kids going to a college. After more universities have become tolerant of all this anti-Israel hate speech that's going on. But these people are the same people that would punish you if you use the wrong pronoun in classroom. They would cancel speakers on college campuses. They would cancel comedians. I heard Jerry Seinfeld say he wouldn't pay out to a campus these days. And Chris Rock won't do it. Black comedians won't bother. They don't want to deal with woke students getting offended. And then try to cancel them. And taking one thing that's set out of context and putting it on social media goes viral and they get booking. So they just say, you know what, I'm not doing it. Not black colleges. For years, universities like University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, you had ranked at the bottom of the free speech survey conducted by FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They're based in Philadelphia, you know them well. And the Foundation colleges based on their commitment to free speech and free expression. What they found is that these same elite Ivy League schools have been covering all this anti-Israel hatred have been the schools with the absolute worst tolerance for free speech and free expression. Obviously, see what happens. When you don't let every idea come across, when you censor opinions that you directly how to speak, when you have your massive diversity, equity, inclusion, empire, and you shut people down, and you try to tell them what to say, speech that you do ultimately allow is what you're going to be called out on. You're going to be called out on that. You shut down a conservative speaker coming to speak on campus. You shut down Jacob. You'll let people chant from the river to the sea of Israel. Now, a quarter of college students believe that Israel should not exist and that Palestine should take over. My industry should work it. Harvard early admission applications have dropped nearly 20% year over year. And the president of Harvard, Gordon Hayes, is coming under fire and there is as many as 40 to 60 different scholarly academic journals, articles, etc. that she plagiarized. Yeah, I know. Somehow she's keeping her job. University of Pennsylvania got rid of the president, but she's still on the faculty. Still making $200 a year. Still gets her severance pay from the president. She's fine. What comes down here? The colleges across the country country are so freaking expensive now. My kids are 9, 7, and 3. I'm saving for college. I don't know what ultimately I'll end up doing with my kids. We're going to save money. It makes sense to do financially anyway. But by the time they get there, how expensive is it going to be? There's an incentive for colleges to cut the cost. Because they know that as long as they raise prices, the government's just going to keep raising the loan amount to give people. Which then brings us to the next scam that Joe Biden is doing, which is the payoff, the bribe. You know, in the old days, if you wanted to vote for you and you wanted to bribe them, you're going to give them a bag of cash. Maybe cigarettes, that's your money, look at that money. You want to get people around their friends to go vote, here's a part of lucky strikes. But nowadays, they don't do it that way. Now, what they do is they send you a check in the form of a student loan repayment. So, even though the United States Supreme Court came in and said, I just want a loan repayment scam, which is that, an unconstitutional scam. I didn't do it anyway. And 80,000 people in Pennsylvania already had their college loans completely forgiven by Joe Biden. That's the most interesting state of Pennsylvania. Joe Biden getting in there and giving people money. The ultimate bribe, the ultimate form of bribe, a government check. Yeah, 9 million student loan borrowers missed the first payment after the pause resumed. They had this COVID pause, and then they said, finally, now 3 years later, have to start making student loan payments. The first one was due last week, and millions, 9 million people missed the first student loan payment they're supposed to make after the pandemic pause ended this fall. That makes about 40% of the 22 million people who had student loan payments due in October. And nearly 9 million borrowers had not made their payments by well to November. For comparison, less than 26% of borrowers missed their payment in October of 2019 before the pandemic pause went into effect. The pandemic pause began in March 2020, the thick of the COVID pandemic, ended in October of this year, after more than 3 years. More than 28 million borrowers are supposed to be resuming payments, but that's not what's happening. Some are confused or overwhelmed about their options. You know what I think is? A lot of people think, why would I pay? Why should I pay? They'll pay it for me at some point. The economic culture will say, I'm not paying the payment. I don't wind up paying it. I'm not going to do that. And I don't blame them for thinking that. If you're competitive on the student loan repayment plan, because of me paying off all my student loans many years ago, I was thinking, I said, well, how about my car loan? Have my mortgage, have my credit card debt, pay it off from me. So we pick a debt and you get to pay that off. So the answer was no. They knew the student debt payment was bribed for Democrat voters. At least. But Dan Carlo, the Democrat Party, had become the part of the faculty town and coastal elites. He's lost touch with working people. His group found it pulling data that for the first time since the question was asked, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president, working people now say the Republican Party is better for them than the Democratic Party is. That didn't happen. That happens to a lot of people who are plumbers and contractors, carpenters, truck drivers, who never went to college, turned around and saw Joe Biden trying to give all these elite, snarky little baristas at Starbucks tens of thousands of dollars to pay off this loan debt. They looked up workers and turned around and said, you know, for nothing, but go on yet. You get nothing, and you'll like it. The Democrat Party has completely lost touch with the working class in this country. But it's by design. They're the party now of the academic elites in places like Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, other schools across the country like that. That's why the anti-Israel fervor you see on college campuses is also playing out in the halls of Congress. It's why Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman comes out and says that he stands with Israel, he's blessed by progressives. Why? How can you stand with Israel? How can you do that? Because the mainstream thinking of the Democrat Party today is not standing with Israel, it's anti-Israel. So if you break from that, as a Democrat, like John Fetterman has done, you get blasted by progressives. Israel's interest. How can you think that way? Well, chances have taught students that there is the oppressed and the oppressor. That's how you have to view the world. America has traditionally been the oppressor, and there are all these people in the country who are oppressed. Now let's open your DEI handbook and figure out who the people are. Everybody who's not a white indoctrinate to think this. They create all this division. And they said Israel got to see the oppressor too, which is why you see this boiling over in college campuses. Here's John Fetterman talking about TikTok and what young people are seeing there again. This is a Democrat United States Senator.
I really don't know. I know that a lot of people are getting their perspective from TikTok. And I think if you're kind of getting perspective on the world, it's going to be kind of harder of the history and actually the way things actually are. And it's very clear that Hamas started this, and they actually broke the ceasefire, and they attacked and murdered babies, children, women.
It's not amazing that when Kuzan says that, he has to make the point of saying that the Democrat Party did not in today's day and age. The Democrat Party is a party of the battleground and the elites, not the working class people. That's why they don't want to secure the border. That's why they can support Israel. And I look at all this thing, I remember Omar recently, he said, do advice, don't go to college. It's a waste of money, it's a waste of time. And it's nothing more than to turn up people who become elite liberals. But not the fun kind of liberals, I mean the illiberal people that don't actually believe in freedom and liberty. Not the fun kind of liberals that used to have on college campuses. Smoke weed and drive around in little heated buses and keep the man away from me. And I don't want the government to tell me what to do. And nowadays, these kids, they all want for it. They believe in it. And they believe that government was bad. There are no rebels coming to college these days, none whatsoever. It is a show with me, Rich. It's the only game for dance again. Busy Wednesday, we're coming right back. That's right, welcome to Matt here on the Dan Show. One of the absolute best traditions, especially this holiday season, right? So we can always get to Florida Man. So let's go with this guy, shall we? This is another real genius here. Florida Man is guilty of threatening to kill Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. That's right. For that guy, we were told during all the protests that Roe v. Wade was overturned that there was nothing the Biden administration can do, even though we know that we're probably inciting them. Well, Neil Bridge said one day he was about to enter the building for one half of making an interstate threat to injure. He's a Fernandina Beach resident. Left an expletive written voicemail message with his Supreme Court in July, and he twice made the threat to kill a justice. DJ did not identify which justice he'd written in state, but the suspect was our Chief Justice John Roberts. During the court order's psychological evaluation, he voiced a message identifying himself by name and urged the U.S. Marshals to pass along a message to Roberts that I will effing kill you. He was arrested in August and has remained in custody ever since. Psychologists conducted his evaluation found that he was competent to stand trial, but noted the fixed delusional belief he had held for many years, identifying a diagnosis of delusional disorder with psychosis. He takes an antipsychotic drug, but I don't think it's really working. And he's been fixed up for 5 years in prison for his offense. Then there's a man arrested for making a bomb threat at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. With the Barrett Sheriff's Office Threat Management Unit arrested Rhode Island man on bomb threat charges at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport Sunday evening. The incident occurred at 5:26 p.m. Deputies alerted to a possible bomb threat at Terminal 1. And what happened is this guy made a statement that had trouble using a kiosk to check into his flight. Obviously, it is frustrating. Nevertheless, you don't make bomb threats, even though it can be a very frustrating process. We have the third and final hour here of the Dennis Show coming straight ahead. Don't go away.
Instead, what happened was that the entire economy, including the aviation sector, recovered swiftly during the Biden economic recovery, which included demand coming back faster than both forecasters thought possible.
That is transportation secretary. He put it in. And then, yeah, the Biden economy is great. Are you feeling that? You feel great. Well, I'm sure glad you're here at the Dennis Show. And often it's here to be with you the rest of the week. I'm excited to be here. So thank you for listening. You can upload on Twitter, the platform known as X nowadays. Well, I still accept I'm saying that. It sounds creepy. But my handle is Rich, is the only R-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. And when I finish this hour, I will be topic on the afternoon talk show about how critical energy PhD in Philadelphia. You can listen to a lot of thoughts that where, of course, you may be listening to dinner right now. The economic reality of this country right now is causing Democrats to want to take Joe Biden out, to take him off the ballot. It's causing Colorado to try to say Donald Trump can't be on the ballot because he's worried he can get Joe Biden to become president. Or any Republican candidate. Who are they pulling them all together? And this is described as this is grim. From November 5th through November 11th, Democracy Corps, a Democratic advisory group founded by Stan Greenberg and James Carville, surveyed 2,500 voters in presidential and Senate battleground states as well as competitive House districts. In the email, Greenberg summarized the results as this is grim. Study said found that collectively, if voters in the Democratic base of Blacks, Hispanics, Asians, LGBTQ, Gen Z, millennials, unmarried, and college women give Trump higher approval ratings than Biden. This is from the far right wing New York Times. On the very subject ranging from abortion to China, the Democracy Corps survey asked voters to choose which would be better, Biden and the Democrats or Trump and the Republicans. Biden and the Democrats set up six groups. Women's rights that were held by 17 percentage points, subsequent abortion. Climate change, 15 points. Addressing racial inequity, 10 points. Healthcare, 3 points. And the president will have an autocrat, 2 points. Protecting democracy, they won by 1 point. Now, think about that. There's also a tie in making democracy more secure. So think about that for a moment. Every message coming out of this White House is that Donald Trump is going to destroy democracy, right? He's going to be dictator, he's going to be Mussolini, he's not going to leave power, and it'll be the end of America if we know it. The same people that are saying we need to save democracy, of course, try to use the courts to keep people from being allowed to vote for what they want to vote for. But I guess. If that's your message, Donald Trump is going to be a dictator and destroy America as he takes over as the next Mussolini, but it's not moving the needle among Democratic voters, you've got a real problem. You've got a real problem here. You would expect that on the question of the president will not be offered, that it should have a 42-point lead on that among Democratic voters. Because they should all be terrified of what Trump would do in his second term. Watch us. We see that here and it's tonight all day long. I'm questioning if we can protect democracy. Biden has 1 point lead. 1 point. That's it. It's not in the democracy for secure. Donald Trump and the Republicans agreeing to polling summarization led at least on the remaining subjects, including being for working people, a 7-point advantage. And up to at least 8 points. People get things done for the American people, 12 points. Feeling safe, 12 points. And wages and salaries up, cost of living, 17 points. In case of issues that traditionally favor Republicans, Trump and his allies held commanding leads, which is on crime, immigration, border security, Russia, 20 points of border security. For Democrats who plan to keep my Trump's threat to democracy are the advantages Trump and Republicans have on opposing extremism. 3 points. You know why, right? Because people are either or not, you have these Democrat whack jobs like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, AOC, and the rest of them spew their hatred. Remember PayPal? She's up there. I mean, they're spewing their hatred. They sound like crazy people. Then it looks like crazy now. And he seems to be the poor man, so they believe the Democrat Party is more extreme. So actually, when you ask the question, who's more extreme, Trump and the Republicans get the advantage of not being so. Get beyond the chaos. Trump and the Republicans have significantly on that, protecting the Constitution, they have 8 points lead. Well, right, there's evidence in both the Democracy Corps survey and other polls that concerns specific to Biden, including his age and the surge in prices during his presidency, are driving the perception of Democratic weakness rather than discontent with the party itself. For example, districts to run in, big Republican opponents among all voters, and 2 points ahead among voters who say they are likely to cast ballots on election day. Along similar lines, NBC 2023 news poll found Trump leading Biden by 2 points, 46 to 44, but when voters were asked to choose between Trump and an unnamed Democrat candidate, the generic Democrat won 46 to 40. In reflection of both Biden and Trump's high unfavorability ratings, NBC reported that when voters were asked to choose between Biden and an unnamed generic Republican, the Republican candidate led Biden 48-37. Biden is the problem here. That's why Democrats want him gone. He's been here in Milwaukee. I'm going to do making this to it, but he's trying to push Biden out. You remember David Axelrod came a few weeks ago, went on a little court storm, saying Joe Biden can't win, got to swap him out. Essentially, what he said. Well, that weekend, he's in Chicago, predicting Obama's. They had a big reunion weekend, celebrated Obama's historic 2008 victory, when he said, today is the day we transform America. You remember that, right? Axelrod was his chief political strategist. He's the guy who helped win that election for Barack Obama. So they get together in Chicago for the weekend. It's not the weekend to get together to work. Right, coming up Friday night. So what? Everybody's catching up, seeing each other again, getting drinks at the bar. Saturday's the main event. On the morning, everybody has brunch together. But there is most maybe strong coffee. Trying to help everybody as they say goodbye. It's been great seeing you. We'll see you again soon. And everybody leaves. Well, a Sunday morning farewell brush to RA, that's when David Axelrod took out his phone and started tweeting that Joe Biden has to go. But a big witness, I'm leading coincidences in life, a very superstitious man, Don Corleone. That's why I know the Obamas agreed that weekend that Joe Biden has to go. He has to go because he cannot win. There's a story that came out a day or two ago. Barack Obama is privately expressing concerns that Joe Biden is going to lose. Well, of course he's going to lose. So this is why they're also going after Hunter Biden. I really believe this. I think that they're going after Hunter Biden to use Hunter as leverage to get Joe Biden out of the race. I wonder if Joe Biden actually decides to leave Biden as a stubborn removal that remains to be seen. But I know if they had their way, if they could, the Democratic Party masters would swap him out of a heartbeat. Problem for them, they'd come later. So even more unpopular than Joe Biden is, if you believe that. She's even more unpopular. It's really surprising when you think about it. Here's Kamala Harris's latest word salad. The first one, she served it up last night to Grady Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, cut number 10.
And the fortune and blessing during the course of being vice president, at many situations where it becomes clear to me that there are, you know, people of every age and gender, by the way, who see something about being first, let them know they don't need to be limited by other people's limited to do what.
Old, and there's a story that Biden is not getting that fact. They're trying to make him aware of the fact that he comes across as a dire old fool. And Biden can't comprehend that, probably because he's a dire old fool. Look, the economy is going to be one thing. The economy is not going to be fulfilling that. So the Biden is trying to spin this. And trying to spin this and say the economy is really working for you. But you can't spin this. If you're paying high grocery prices, if you can't afford a home, if your interest rates on other credit cards are so high that you can barely make monthly minimums, all the spin in the world doesn't change that. That's the thing. You can spin a lot of things in politics, but you can't spin somebody's financial situation. They live it every day. You feel it every single day. And there are people right now who decide to get a Christmas present for their kids or paying the heating bills. So all the spin in the world doesn't change the amount of money you have in your bank account at the end of the month. And this is the problem for Democrats. So you factor in what their message is. Their only message they have is that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Guess what? That message isn't working. So you're not moving the needle on that. You can't bring the economy up as a message. The Middle East is on fire. We have never been war in Ukraine. And the border is wide open. Their thinking is if we can stop Trump from getting on the ballot, then we can win. Because if we can somehow get him out of the White House, that's a winner in itself. We can get the Republican there. The Democrats don't want to risk losing power. But if they have to move Joe Biden out, they're going to. But if Kim Obama Harris is, she's even worse. They're in a very, very, very bad reality, which is why a summation from James Carville's group in the polling today is three words. This is grim. It's this show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
It's a busy day today, but I got five things for you here on the Dana Show, so let's do it.
And all the news you probably missed, it's time for the Netflix.
I'm being familiar with some Christmas movies. We just watched Home Alone with the kids the other day. It's a fact, of course, because it's my childhood. How much would the trip to Paris and the Capsule family children cost today? Today's number. There was a thing where Kevin got $20 and went to the grocery store and said, look, like, that today would cost about $60, maybe $63 for that and cheese and liquor things to buy. Now, the whole trip to Paris, there and back, with mercy flights and everything, because Kevin left home alone, would be about $28,000 or more in advance dollars. It's a lot, so make sure you count your kids twice. A man in a U-Haul sprayed a substance called anti-Semitic phrases outside D.C. synagogue. There are a lot of crazy people out there. Britain was accused of driving a U-Haul van around security poles and parking directly on the sidewalk in front of the entrance to a casual Israel congregation. He sat down on the hood of the van and then tried to open the synagogue's front door, but it was locked. There was a glass coming on the side. So he started to spray with an unknown substance and yelled, gas Jews. This is what the Jewish population in the United States of America has to deal with. Crazy lunatics like this become open based on what's happening in college campuses. It's absolutely terrible. You can watch a gigantic fireball moving along power lines in St. Pete if you're down in Florida. That's right. A fireball moved across power lines in the Shore Acres area of St. Petersburg Sunday morning after storms moved through the area. They said it was arson. At first, when someone hit the power line, it was a fault. It hits a tree, extreme wind, fine grid. So a gigantic fireball going up and down the power lines. I feel like people should look at this, don't you think? And an Oregon woman who was hospitalized for 17 days on life support died. After a random shooting, a man was apparently abducted for phone charges relating to the alleged attack. This is a man who beat a woman to death with cans of soup. And that's just absolutely terrible how this happens. But like I said, there are a lot of crazy people out there focusing about it. All right, we've got a little more talk about the Dan Show here today with the original Yearly for Dana. Don't go away.
Elevator could be a workout for downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this country needs some healing. And what the Colorado Supreme Court did is they basically took a blow at democracy in the name of democracy, as you mentioned. You never needed the democratic process more.
Hello, Mr. Jonathan Turley. Welcome to the show. It's a busy day right now after the Colorado Supreme Court ruled Donald that will go to the United States Supreme Court. And at that point, I believe the Supreme Court is going to say just how insane this is because he hasn't been charged with insurrection or charged with being made a comfort to those who had insurrection in the United States of America. So, but I think this is, though, when you think about the only precedent that they can use in this entire ordeal would be Trump's impeachment. And look at the verdict in Trump's impeachment. He was found not guilty. He was acquitted in the impeachment trial. So you ask yourself the question, what is the Colorado Supreme Court using as the precedent to find Donald Trump guilty of insurrection? They have nothing. Because the only time he was ever really put on trial for it was impeachment. And he was acquitted by the Senate. He was the first majority victim, and he was acquitted. So that's it. I mean, that's the only precedent you can rely on in this entire case. But you gotta wonder, though, how much of this is being done, how much is going to be being done, because Hunter Biden is the problem, and his corruption, and the Biden family corruption, and all these things, front and center, becomes the issue that Democrats are so worried about. And it's part of this. And I'm smarter about this. There was a time when Democrats were screaming very, very loudly about anyone, anywhere, who in any way, shape, or form was asked to testify in Congress. They needed to do it, and if they don't do it, then they should be prosecuted. Now, they prosecute people. Bennett, and that's the Trump White House tomorrow. But Biden refuses to do a closed-door deposition like everybody else, like all the January 6th people had to do. Everybody before January 6th committee was made to give a deposition. Trump family had to give a deposition. Donald Trump had to give a deposition behind closed doors during the Mueller investigation. Hunter Biden says he's too good for that, you see. He's too good for that. He doesn't want to do that, so he stands up there and he whines like a baby. Not that they're attacking him because of his addiction. Nobody's attacking him for his addiction. Nobody cares about his addiction. But you and I both know that there is a lot here. The White House had Hunter Biden on the Marine One with the president, but they took him off the flight manifesto. Why? And there's missing visitor logs. So, House Republicans became the White House after President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was left off the Marine One passenger list following a long-standing tradition of omitting him from other records such as visitor logs. That has helped that the president is keeping far away from Hunter's local foes, said Jack Heinrich. We were all just watching the first family's return from Delaware Marine One. But my colleague Peter Ducey noticed someone pop off the chopper who is not on the passenger list that was given to us by the White House, Hunter Biden. So Hunter is apparently here for what has been defined by a congressional subpoena of being indicted and facing a maximum of 17 years behind bars on financial crimes, plus another 25 on gun charges that he's facing. The Hunter Biden mission prompted the House Republican Congress' social media account to question what is the White House is leaving out of its records regarding the president's son. Fox News reports Hunter Biden is currently at the White House is being spotted as Marine One. He was not on the White House passenger manifest. One of the manifests in his blog is the fact that he's off of. Thursday, brief White House Press Secretary Green John Bean faced a question about whether the White House will announce Hunter Biden's presence on Marine One could move forward. She said that we've never done, and this is the family. The family gets to travel with the president. That's been the case with every other president. So it's not something that we have done or will be doing moving forward. Of course, now this White House claims to be the most transparent administration in American history. However, Fox News Digital Review found that its visitor logs from the beginning of the Biden administration through February 2023 have not included any of Hunter Biden's White House visits or extended stays. Don't you think that Joe Biden is facing all these federal charges and part of it is a question of whether or not Joe Biden was involved with Joe Biden's business and financial dealings? Don't you think it's either a good idea to keep him at arm's length or be as transparent as possible about his presence around the president of the United States? I mean, we all really believe that Joe Biden is now just an artist making his living selling high-priced priced, overpriced, crappy art where blows paint for a straw? Come on. The review includes several articles that you place together to write in whereabouts from his dad's administration and found he had visited the White House over a dozen times in February 2023. The majority of those visits would include the annual Egg Roll Medal of Freedom ceremony, fancy State dinner on the South Lawn, Christmas tree lighting, and his daughter's wedding, among others. However, his presence at the White House was absent from the visitor log, including what appears to be the extended stays. White House spokesperson told Fox News Digital that the White House will not release access records related to purely personal deaths of the first and second family, i.e. visits that do not involve any official or political business. This policy is less transparent than the Obama administration's policy, even though this administration says it is the most transparent in American history. How many of these events are ceremonial and a tradition of the White House? Biden being there, of course, has been accused of financial gains during the Obama administration when he was vice president, really does make you wonder how appropriate this is. Of a victory, perhaps? Number one, Biden said, my father was not financially involved in my business. What does that mean? My father was not financially involved in my business. What do you mean he was involved? Just financially, he didn't pay payroll. And handle reimbursements. But what does that mean financially involved? But it's involved, right? Hunter Biden is involved. How much of that should be wondered if Hunter Biden giving a message to Joe Biden's legal team? Joe Biden's political advisors. Listen, I am happy to talk if it means voting for them. But give them an apartment and this all goes away. See, I would not rule that out. I would not rule out the prospect of Hunter Biden getting pardoned. Here's why. If Joe Biden pardons him, it all goes away. Everything about Joe Biden's corruption also goes away as well. Joe Biden has to go away, though. There's no way the American people would stand for the president pardoning his son and then reelect him. So, one scenario, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it's a scenario. You know, and I talk to Ray Tito if you haven't wanted to reach Joe Biden. Well, if the story is coming out saying that Joe Biden is so upset, he's depressed, can't deal with the stress his son is going through, he blames himself, this isn't right, this is only happening because Joe Biden's president, well, that'd be set up for the inevitable pardon of his son where Joe Biden comes to America and says, I had to put my family first. This is not easy for me. But sometimes you have to be dad. The only reason my son is going through this hell is because of me. So I'm going to pardon him that this will go away because I'm worried my son's going to have a relapse. I can't go through losing another son. But I also understand that this means I can't run for re-election. So I am decided that I will not seek Democrat nomination for president of the United States. I don't know what. By the way, during the other Biden family members, the statute of limitation implications, the case is very complicated. They've done a great job of hiding things through shell companies. I mean, the reason why all these terrorist whistleblowers came forward is because these guys are very good at tracking down complicated international money laundering schemes where people have money for all kinds of LLCs and corporations and money gets moved around in the form of loan repayments and things like that. If you let these guys do the job, you can find it, but the Department of Justice and the IRS doesn't let them do the job before they become whistleblowers and get Congress into Congress with no. It's all there. And if Hunter Biden is using that line, my father's not financially involved in my business, to send a very loud message to the campaign team, hey, listen, I am not going to jail. Guys like me can't handle prison. Okay? So I'm not going. So either I woke up and I will talk, or you have to be pardoned. Because you know my dad wasn't involved in my business. I'll say I'm not financially involved for the time being, but if that continues, if it continues, well, from the pardon. I mean, here's what Joe Biden's son is in a room with me yesterday. And they're having a room with him. It's a big deal. He was invited in all of this, having multiple dinners and phone calls with Joe It's when your buddy gets that WhatsApp message threatening that Chinese energy guy, Xi. Listen, Xi, I'm joking around, pal. And Joe Biden's a happy model. Joe Biden had multiple phone calls. There were 100 Biden business associates coming to the Obama White House when Joe Biden was vice president. And then, of course, the same time they went over to Ukraine and threatened to withhold $1 billion of American financial aid unless they fired the prosecutor investigating Burisma, Victor Chokin. If you look at Biden's poll numbers, 63% approve of his handling on disapprove of his handling on the border. 61% disapprove of his handling in China. 70% disapprove of his handling in the economy. It's a disaster. The guy can't win. The Democrats want him gone. His son is facing decades in prison. His son is not going to go to prison because he's the kind of guy that will talk. So it really makes sense. If you have a kid apartment, you become a hero, you're this devoted dad, put family first. There'll be books written about the selfless act you did for your son to get away from those mean MAGA Republicans who are just targeting Hunter because he's a reformed rookie. It's not because of all the financial crimes. No, it's just Republicans proves. And all of this video of Hunter Biden having sex with prostitutes. That's the reason why they want to go to Hunter Biden. They saw the video, they saw the pictures. And it's nauseating. And for that reason, they want to go after Hunter. Because they can't stand the fact that their term is left for that. Blah, 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 blah. You have to know that Joe Biden was guilty as hell. Joe Biden was guilty as hell. And Obama knows he's guilty as hell. Obama's also worried that all his legacy is now to be called out because Obama let this happen in his White House. Everything Joe Biden is accused of doing happened in Barack Obama's presidency when he was vice president of the United States. You're telling me nobody told Obama what was going on. Obama didn't think anything was suspicious when he went right in front of the $1 billion aid to Ukraine. He was in the dark. Nobody in the West Bank told him what was going on. Remember, Obama did not want Biden to run for his system. That's the reason over there. Is that the reason why? Because they know how dirty Joe Biden is. They know the corruption is there. They know it's going to come out. And if it comes out, it makes the Obama White House look terrible because they allowed all this to occur when Barack Obama was president. Joe Biden is selling access, selling his office, enriching his family. Don't forget something. Even if Joe Biden never took a dime of money, which I don't believe for a second, but let's presume Joe Biden didn't take any money. He still used his office to get his family members rich. He still used his office to make sure that his son and his brother, and who knows who else, got rich. That's still a crime. You can't use your office to enrich your family members. Even if you don't get the money, which we know he did, you can't do that. That's a high crime misdemeanor. That's robbery, and it's not good. So what? No. No one knows. So nothing will surprise me. One thing I know is clear. Guys like Hunter Biden, they are the first ones to turn and drop a dime if it means not going to prison. This is Dennis Show with me, Rich Zippel, in from Dana, our final segment. Don't miss it. Straight ahead.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and have the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
See, we must pat ourselves on the back. We did all this. I was taking this, but we had leaders here. We took this on because we're here. We're the one who fought against slavery. And we made it. But it's hard to embrace the fact that our state also flourished from that slavery. It's not a beautiful story, but it is the truth.
That is your governor, Kathy Hochul, who, of course, wants to do everything possible to divide American and divide New Yorkers because of us. So we're breakers. So people who are not even alive during slavery will get money, even though New York was a Union state, fighting the Confederacy in the Civil War. Who cares? I mean, it's just wipe away anyone thinking anything positive and do more to they do it constantly. So, by the way, you have the audio clip of the day before, before we wrap up the dinner show today. Alright, well, it's good. Well, grandma's love, my friend. I guess that's the way it is. Well, we'll have a lot more tomorrow. We'll be back with you tomorrow on the dinner show. I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Rich Zoli if you like to follow along. I'll be putting over to my afternoon drive show on digital NBPH in Philadelphia in just a matter of seconds. But thank you for listening. We'll probably cover our Supreme Court case. I think it's very obvious to a lot of people right now that the court has under a massive overreach. I think it's very obvious to people that this is not going to stop with Colorado. In fact, just a few months ago, California came out and said they're going to be looking at ways to block Trump from the ballot in their state as well. So look for the blue states to do what they do best and destroy democracy as we know it. Have a great rest of your day.